You should have pages Yud Dalid, and on the left side Tes Vav, pages Tes Zayin, and on the left side Yud Zayin, and pages Yud Ches and Yud Tes. Now, I'm not sure that we'll cover all of this today, but we'll try to do at least the bulk of it. And we're going to start with Simon Yud Beis, which is on page Yud Dalid. And my goal today would be to cover Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalid, Tes Vav, and the beginning of Tes Zayin. They're all related to each other.
Right, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel is...
Yeah, you'll see the different simonim as we go along.
That's how we don't have those
questions. Oh, yeah, Yud
Beis. The simonim. No, so what's confusing about the Sefer is that there are page numbers on top,
right.
And in the text itself, you have the simonim. Okay, you get used to that.
Okay
then. Now, in order to learn this piece, we have to go back to that Beis Amin Aleph and take a look at Tosfos. Okay then. Daf Beis Amud Aleph, meaning the opening Mishnah, and we want to take a look at Tosfos. This is the first Tosfos in the Masechet. Now, just by way of introduction to this Tosfos, how are you, Abraham?
Parsha.
The parsha I just finished.
All right, fine. Okay.
Yeah. Just one second. The Mishnah establishes that with regard to all zvachim, if it was shechted shalol lishma, the carbon is kosher, but it's lo olu lebailim l'shem chova, which means that the bailim have not fulfilled their obligation vis-a-vis this carbon, and therefore they're going to have to replace this carbon with another one. Now, the first point we want to make here, and that's what Tosfos opens up with, as we'll soon see, is that the Mishnah only emphasizes the nizbechu, which means nishchetu, the first avodah of the four, that's the shechita. And Tosfos points out that we shouldn't think that the Mishnah is only referring to shechita, but rather it includes all four avodos. That means even Kabbalas Adam, Holocha Sadam, Zrika Sadam, if in any one, any single one of those four avodos, the carbon was brought shalol lishma, then the carbon is not ole lebailim l'shem chova. So Tosfos gives a kind of a little bit of a technical answer. Why does the Mishnah mention zvicha? And the opening line of Tosfos is avoda kamaisa nokat. Now, he only mentions the first of the four avodos, which is the avoda of zvicha. But vehu adin, but this halacha of shalol lishma applies equally to kabbalah, v'olacha, uzrika, which, if they were done, any one of them, shalol lishma, then although the carbon is kosher, it's lo'ol l'bailim l'shem chov. And to prove this, he says, Kiniktani Seifa, the Mishnah on Daf Yud Gimel, actually spells this out. Okay, now up until this moment, to this point, we're talking about Shinui Kodesh. Now let's just understand what that phrase Shinui Kodesh means, because there's another phrase, okay, maybe it's a Gilgal of somebody. There's some sort of big something flying around here, but okay, fine. And he says that Shinui Kodesh means Ola L'Shem Shlomim. He says Shinui Kodesh Shayach B'Hanach Arbavodos Kigon Ola L'Shem Shlomim. So in any one of these avodos, if the Zevach was a carbon Ola and it was any of the avodos were performed for the sake of a carbon Shlomim, then the law applies of Shalol L'Shma. However, what about Shinui Bailin? We have another almost parallel kind of problematic lishma, meaning in the machshava of the Kohen, which parallels Shinui Kodesh, and that's called Shinui Bailim. Says Tosfos, Aval Shinui Bailim, when instead of having in mind this particular Baal HaKorban HaMiskaper, we'll call him Reuven, he had in mind somebody else, we'll call him Shimon, is Lo Shayach Ela Bizrika. It's impossible to assume that our Mishnah is referring to Shinui Bailim. Because if we've proven that our Mishnah is referring not just to Zvicha, but to all four Avodos, then that could not possibly apply to Shini Bailam. Shini Bailam is limited to one Avodah. V'nirtza Olav Lechapir, the Gemara says that the Ripui, I'm sorry, the Ritzui of the Karban, V'nirtza Miloshan Ritzui, has to be low, it has to be for him. Now what's the Ritzui of the Karban? Which of the four Avodahs generates Ritzui? Only Zrika Saddam. Is Lo Shayach El Bizrika. Now, what does this mean? You know, if you stop here, you might come to a very bad mistaken impression. You might conclude that there's no way that you could passel the korban as Shinui Bailim during Shchita. That's not true. But it all depends on what machshava he had. If he had a machshava to do the Shchita for the purpose of Zrika L'Shem Shimon, and the same would apply to Kabbalah Saddam and Alokha Saddam, that's called Shinui Bailim. But it doesn't apply if, let's say, the Shechita was done for the purpose of Shimon. When I say Shimon, you know who I mean. I mean someone other than Reuven. Mm-hmm. So again, there are two different machshavas and we're comparing and contrasting them. One machshava is L'Shem Shimon. So he shechts the korban L'Shem Shimon. The other machshava is he's shechting the korban for the purpose of Zrika L'Shimon, which means the kapar of the korban should be for Shimon. In the first case, is that called Shini Bailim?
No.
No. Only in the second case. And the Gemara is going to derive this from various limudim. So again, inherent in Shechita, there is no psul. If we would isolate Shechita as the beginning and the end all, as an avoda, there would be no psul of Shini Bailim in Shechita. The Shini Bailim, which passes a karban, is only in Zrika, because v'nirtza lo lechaper. However, if any of the avodas were done for the machshava of Zrika le'acher, that would be Shini Bailim. And therefore he says, Kigon, what would be a classical case of Shini Bailim? Shochet o makabel o molich karbon shel Ruvain almanas lizrog domo l'shem Shimon. Now you should underline that. I mean, that's really what we're going to come back to over and over again. This is like the aleph bays of Shini Bailim, is that the avoda, whatever avoda was done for the purpose of Zrika l'shem Shimon. That the kapar, the zrika, should be for Shimon. Ki the muchach lekamon bepirkin. Okay, and that's the sugya on Daf Yud. That's what I call the April 20th. And that's going to be the sugya of Shinui Bailim. Okay, so again, since the Mishnah applies and presents a psul in all four avodos, it could only be talking about what kind of psul? Shinui Kodesh. It could not be addressing Shinui Bailim, because Shinui Bailim doesn't apply in each avod. It only applies vis-a-vis the Zrika. Again, you could have the Machsheva Zrika L'Shimon during the Shechita, Kabbalah, and Halacha. That's true. But that's not a psul in Machsheva Shechita. If you had the Shechita of an Olah L'Shem Shlamim, that's Shinui Kodesh, that's a psul in the Shechita itself. That's what Tosus presents at this point. Okay. Then he goes on. Let's just read a few more lines, even though I don't think this next piece in Tosus is going to be so relevant to us today, but just in case, you know, we'll have a little far. Tosus says, V'tzarech l'dadek, because we should really think about the following question. Minole la'shas shinui bailim. What is the source for the psul of Shinui Bailim? The Kaboy Lekamon Bepirkin, later on in Daf Dalit, on our mission of Kol Hazvachim, Shinei Zvushalo Lishmon, Lo Ol Lishen Bailim, the Gemara asks me, Nolan, Debeinon, Zvicha Lishma. And the Gemara is derived from various psukim that you need Shchita Lishma, Vahadaka Omar, and the Gemara then asks, Ashkechana Shinui Kodesh, Shinui Bailim Minolon, from whence do we derive the psul of Shinui Bailim? And Umashba would seem, Damas Nisen Koi, that this sugya of Shinui Bailim Minolon is referring to our Mishnah. In other words, if I ask you, what's the source for this din? Obviously, I've assumed the din. So the Gemara is making a comment on the Mishnah and saying, where did the Mishnah know this from? Well, if the Gemara is asking, where did the Mishnah know Shini Kodesh from? That I understand. That's the explicit subject of our Mishnah. But if the Gemara is saying, well, where did the Mishnah know Shini Bailin? That's a strange kind of question. The Mishnah didn't say a word about Shini Bailin. We've just proven that this Mishnah does not address Shini Bailin. Oh, so he says, "V'kulam asdisilom mishtameh klal b'shinu bailim." The entire Mishnah is referring to Shinu Kodesh and not Shinu Bailim. The Lishna, the Mishnah says, the Lishmon is talking about the opposite of Lishmon, meaning would be Shinu Kodesh. Mashmal afuke shini kodesh, that a person can't bring a carbon ol l'shem shlamim, but it doesn't seem to indicate at all a case where he brought it for the sake of Shimon as opposed to Ruvein the Bala Karban. So the word Lishmon here doesn't seem to give us a clue that we're talking about Shini Bailim. And also, as we said before, the Mishnah is referring to all four Avodos, and that only applies to Shini Kodesh, not Shini Bailim. Is Kula Masnisin, all the Mishnais in our Perek, Lo Nokid Ella Shinui Kodesh, the only psul that the Mishnah is addressing here, Shinui Kodesh. The Ketani Nami B'Seifa, the Seifa of the Mishnah says, Ketzad Lishman V'Shalo Lishman, L'Shem Pesach, L'Shem Shlomim. In other words, let's say he starts his Avoda by having a double Kavana. He has in mind L'Shem Pesach, but he also has in mind L'Shem Shlomim. That's going to be the case of Lishman V'Shalo Lishman. And this case is not included in our Mishnah. Correct? It's not included in our Mishnah. It's included in the next Mishnah. So we're talking again about a case of Shalom L'Shem Oso Karban, right? Instead of being L'Shem Pesach, he has also an admixture of a Machshav L'Shem Shlomim. So there's no discussion whatsoever, neither in our Mishnah nor in the other Mishnahs, about Shini Bailin. So why did the Gemara say Shini Bailin Minolan? Again, whenever you see the word Minolan, you know that the Gemara is trying to answer up a question with regard to the Mishnah. The Mishnah formulated a certain din. Minolan, what's the source for that din? Why are we asking what's the source for the din of Shini Bailim when Shini Bailim is not included, it's not hinted at it in the Mishnayos? And based on this question, Tosfos is going to introduce an entirely different Mishnah, which is much later on in the Perek, in the Masechta. And that's the Mishnah of L'Shem Shisha Dvar Mazevach Nizbach. And there, one of the listings of the six machshavos that has to be thought about by the Kohen is L'Shem Zoveach. That's one of six. And that indicates that we need a Lishma for the sake of the Zoveach the Bala Karban, as opposed to Shini Bailin. And the Gemara over here on Daf Dalet, when it says Shini Bailin Minolan, is asking a question on the Mishnah on Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis. So that's a little bit choppy. You know, I wouldn't dance in the streets for this, but Tosfos is forced, he's compelled to this strange position that the Gemara here at the beginning of the Masechta is asking a question that you have to tag on to a Mishnah that's much later in the Masechta. Otherwise, if you're talking about our perek, there's no hint to Shini Bailim in our perek. The whole problem here is Lishma and the Shem Kodesh, but not Shini Bailim. Okay, I think that's enough for us. Again, there's a lot more in this Tosfos, but to begin to understand a very brilliant analysis here of the Nefesh Tova, the Rosh Yeshiva of Chevron Yeshiva. Now, The real punchline of this whole discussion today is going to be Siman Yud Gimel, which is on page Tes Vav. But I want to start, nevertheless, in order to give the Rosh Yeshiva, you know, full exposure. We'll go back to a very nice piece, which is Nabi Yud Beis. Now Tosfos, when he wants to give an example of Shini Bailim, which only applies to which of the four avodos? Zrika. He says, Kigon sheshachat al menas lizrok l'shem Shimon. Does everybody see that? Again, in my text, it's on the fifth line of Tosfos. Is that true in your text also? Right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Kigon Shochet, etc. That's his first example. What's his second example? O Mekabel. Amenas Lizrok. What's his third example? Molich. Amenas Lizrok Domo. L'shem Shimon. So when Tosis wants to illustrate, he's like teaching us, like we're children in a cheder, he wants to teach us what Shini Bialim is about. How many different avodos does he use to illustrate Shini Bialim?
Three.
Which one is missing? Zrika. So you and I might have said, well, Tosis didn't have to mention Zrika, because the whole point of Shini Bialim is that the kaparas hakarbon is not earmarked for Reuven the Bala Karbon, but for Shimon, somebody else. So obviously, if the Zrika was done with Shem Shimon, for sure that would be Shinu Bailin. But the Mishnah Lamelech, who lived four centuries ago, his name was Rav Yaakov Roznas. Okay, I happen to be the proud owner of one of his svarim. When I mean one of his svarim, I mean the original. That was published in Constantinople, which has a different name today, I think.
Istanbul,
right. Anyway, he was a Sephardic Jew. The Rav used to say about three Sephardim who wore turbans that they were great Talmidei Chacham, meaning they had the brisket there. One of them was the Mishnah. And the Mishnah Melech asks the following question: why didn't Tosis mention the Dover Pashut that he had a Zrika Shalom L'Shem Reuven, but L'Shem Shimon? He only mentions that the other Avodos were done for the sake of the Zrika being L'Shem Shimon. But what about the Zrika itself? And based on this question, the Mishnah Mel comes to the conclusion, which I underline, so I think you'll have it in the underline. The Bizrika Atzma Lo Pasla Machsheves Shini Bailim. And the Rashiva says, I have no answer to this question. I cannot decipher the logic of the Mishnah Mel. You know, in this case, I was a little bit let down because I was hoping he would give a whole shtickle Torah to justify the Mishnah Mel, but he says it doesn't make any bit of sense. He says, Alpi Svara doesn't make any sense, because the whole purpose of Bailim is the Zrika. Everything in here is in the Zrika. And with a Kal V'Chomer, we should be passing a Machsheves Shimon in the Zrika. But Odi says, I have another objection to the Mishnah Melech. Why? Because Tosis later on Daf Dalet Amid Beis, says that there's a psul of Machsheves Shini Bailim in Zrika Atzma Mikal V'Chomer. So Tos himself spells this out. And here's the language of Tos on Daf Dalet. He says, Tema, lomali kro l'shinui bailim bizrika. I don't even need a pasuk for Shini Bailim in Zrika. Ha'afilu b'shara avodos. It's only because of Almanas Lizrog that there's a psul of Shini Bailim. So the paradigm case of Shini Bailim is in Zrika itself. As a spin-off, as an expansion, we're going to apply it to Sharav Olis when he has in mind that the Zrika should be L'Shem Bailim Acherim. So Tosis clearly understands that if certainly if he had a Zrika L'Shem Bailim Acherim, that is a psul of Shini Bailim. So this diuk of the Mishnah Lamelech as to why Tosis gives only three examples for three avodas and he didn't mention Zrika, the answer is because Zrika was partial. For sure Zrika has Shini Bailim. Okay, so that I just wanted to point out to you. You know, I'm at the point in my life where if I understand anything in Kodshim, I'm very happy about it. So I think I understood this piece. But this is really the piece that I want to get to today, and that's number Yud Gimel. He calls it the Geder Machsheves Shinui Bailim. Yesh Listapik. Okay, the third line. Okay, now let me just give a little bit of an introduction here, because the point of the Rosh Hashiva here is a bit subtle. Subtle, I mean it belongs to the abstract conceptual worlds. He says the following. You could talk about Zrika on the two different categories. You could talk about the Maisa Zrika, just the physical act. You know, there's a Hakrova. In the Hakrova, you have different Avodos. And one of the Avodos, and in fact, maybe you could call it the most critical of the Avodos, is the Maisa Zrika. Then you could talk about the Kapara, which is the result of the Maisa Zrika. Now, for anyone here who's in my Derech HaLimud learning, we always like to methodologically differentiate between the external action as an action and all its conditions and definitions, as opposed to the result of the action. Okay. So Zrika becomes a perfect example of this differentiation between the mice itself and the totsas ha-mice, so the result of the mice. Yesh listapik, this requirement of l'shem bailim, that the zrika should be on behalf of Reuven, the bala korban, ibeinon, do we require sheyishchot almenas lasos es maisa hazrika, that the maisa hazrika has to be l'shem Reuven, and shalolishma, meaning shinui bailim, would be if the maisa hazrika was done l'shem Shimon. That's possibility number one. In other words, let's say the Kohen is asking, you know, who is he operating for? Meaning he's an agent, so to speak, on behalf of the Bala Korban. And the agent has to implement the Avodos on behalf of the Mishaleach. So who's the Mishaleach? The Bala Korban. It's Shluchi Didaninu, meaning the Kohenim are our Shluchim. It's kind of like Rav Soloveitchik used to say that it's relevant to this week's parasha, that the Ish Iti, who is in charge of bringing the Soya Mishtalech out to the Midbar and push it off the Tzuk, he's the Shliach of the Kohen Gadol. Meaning he's the long arm of the Kohen Gadol. And Rav Soloveitchik, based on that, wanted to conclude that there's a halacha on Yom Kippur that the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to leave the Azara until all his avodah is complete. And at that point he leaves the Azara, he goes to the Esrus Noshim, and he reads the Sefer Torah. That's what happens on Yom Kippur. Now, in the case of Soya Mishtalech, which is the critical Karva Kapar of Yom HaKippurim, it has to be sent to the Midbar. So we have a serious problem. How is the Kohen Gadol allowed to leave the environs of the Azara? This is the major avodah of the day. So the answer is that he leaves vicariously, meaning he has a shliach who represents him. The Ishiti is his long arm. He himself physically remains in the Azara. And that's why the Rambam says that as soon as the Ishiti sends back the message to the Kohen Gadol that the kiyum of the Sara Lazazel, the Shiluach Hasar, was fulfilled, at that point the Rambam says, then the Kohen Gadol leaves the Azara. Anyway, leave that all out because it's not for us, but I just wanted to point out that, you know, the Kohen who's doing the Avodah has his Shluchim. And in the case of the Bala Korban, the Kohen is going to serve on his behalf. Now, what does the Kohen have to do on his behalf? He has to do the Avodah. So let's say, for example, the Kohen decides, for whatever reason, I'm doing the Avodah for Shimon. Maybe because he made a mistake. You know, there's so many korbanos flooding the Azara, he confused, and he knew that Shimon was waiting online to bring his korban ola. So instead of having in mind this ola l'shem Reuven, who's really the bala korban, he had in mind l'shem Shimon. Is he thinking about kapara? Not necessarily. He's thinking about the maisa avoda. And the maisa avoda is the shechita, etc., etc. So he did it on behalf of Shimon. You know, let's tap the Kohen on the back and ask him, who's your boss? And he'll answer, Shimon. Shimon's my boss. Oh, now the second side is no. What makes Shini Bailim into Shini Bailim? That's Almanas Shahakapara Shebizrika Tehe Shalola Shem Bailim. It's not that he's just thinking about who his boss is, who sent him on this agency. It's more than that. He's thinking about the kapara. Every carbon has to have a kapara. Who achieves kapara through this carbon? So the avoda of the coin was done for the purpose of Shimon achieving kapara for this carbon. That's called Shini Baila. But in the first case, that he only had in mind that the avoda per se should, as a maisa, should be done on behalf of Shimon. That's not called Shini Baila in the O. Vahainu, Ha'im biur divrei atosvus de be'emes lo shaychim ha'sheves shinu b'ilim ele ba'avodas hazrika she'ikar kapara. Tosfos has established, and he gave three examples, that the psul of ma'sheves shinu b'ilim is when an avodu is done for the sake of the zrika for Shimon. Is it because of the zrika as a ma'ase zrika, as an avoda? Or is it the Zrika because of the Kapara? The Zrika is a catchphrase for the Kapara. El Shim Choshe Vishara Avodas Lassas Avodas Hazrika Shalo L'Shem Bailim Nifsal Mipnei Shemachashev Al Avodas Hazrika. In other words, it's the psul of Shini Bailim and Machshav is a Machshav Zrika. Oh, well, no, that's not the psul of Shini Bailim. It's not just the Avoda of Zrika L'Shem Bailim Achirim, but rather, it's totally in Kapara. It's not just a coincidence that Zrika was elevated to the, you know, to the main, you know, floods the, you know, the stage over here. No, it's that the Kapara Sakarban is inherent in the Zrika. If it came into Shame Bailim totally be Kapara. In other words, what makes Reuven the Bailim is because Reuven has rights to achieve Kapara through this Karban. Lachain Tzarech Lachshov, the Avod has to be done with the Machshava, that the Zrika L'Shem Kapara has to be for the sake of Reuven the Bala Karban. So Reuven's status as the Bala Karban is because the Kapara through the Zrika is his Kapara, and Shini Bailim means to steal Reuven, rob him of his ability to be the Bala Karbon, namely to achieve the Kapara Sakarbon. And therefore, if the Kohen had in mind that it's Shimon who's going to achieve the Kapara Sakarbon, that's called Shini Bailim. The Ainza Mitzad Chitzok Lakshav al Etzem Avodas Hazrika, meaning the Maisa Zrika, Ela Shechoshev al HaKapara. That's when it's possible.
So if he has in mind that the Zrika is for Shimon, even though he's not thinking of the Kapara, then it's still okay.
That the Shechita, you said?
No, the Zrika.
Zrika. Oh, Zrika. So again,
but he's not thinking about the Kapara, he's thinking only about the
So that depends on, that's his Chakira, that's what he's vacillating about. In his first understanding, as long as he has in mind that the Zrika is for Shimon, that becomes a psul of Shini Bailim. In his second approach, it's only when he thinks that the Kapara through the Zrika should be Shimon's and not Reuven's, that's when it's Shinui Bailim.
Ah, so and he doesn't know which is which.
He doesn't know which is which. He's gonna prove it from Rashi. You know what? Let's play a game over here. Instead of looking at the Nefesh Tovah, let's look at Rashi. Rashi Mamish addresses this question, and it's absolutely fascinating. Take a look. I love it when we come up with a Chakira and Rashi himself addresses the question. So we're on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, and we're four lines up from the bottom of the page. Again, I can't tell you in Steinsaltz. He says the following. The Gemara establishes a phrase called Yeshnan Be. What's the language of the Gemara? Yeshnan B'dalet Avodos. Okay, so the Shalom Lishma applies in all four Avodos. Then the Gemara goes on and says that Shinui Bailim applies in all four Avodos. So Rashi says, this is the, you know, there's three levels in the Rashi. So we're in the middle level when it gets, on the bottom when it gets a little bit wider. So Rashi says, She'im Shachat Shalom Lishma, O kibel v'holach v'zorak shalo lishma, afal pi shalo chishev ela al hashchita shalo lishma, even if only one of the four avodos he had a machshava shalo lishma, that's enough to pass the karbon. Kiderabinon le'eliel, which we have ribuyim and we derive for those. Oh, avol shini bailim. There we don't say yeshno v'dalet avodos. Lo shayach ela b'zrika. Why? This pasuk that tells me that any of the four avodos is possible with a machshava shinui bailim, even shchita. I mean, I could say even for any one of them, but let's say shchita. Eino ela. Now watch this. Kigon sheshachat al menas lizrok. What's the next two words? Liskaber boachim. Why did Rashi have to add those two words? See, if not for the Rosh Hashiva, we never would have paid attention to those two words. where Rashi clearly defines shinui baile. It's not that any avoda that's done for the purpose of zrika liacher, but for the purpose that the zrika should be machaper for somebody else. And Rashi repeats himself a second time. He says, "Avol shachat shelo l'shem bailov, v'lo hizkir al manas lizor, ein zu machshava." That's not a machshava that registers. D'shinui bailim lo shach bekarbon elo lihiskaper bo. Again, Rashi emphasizes the kapar. So again, let's go back to the text, and he quotes Rashi verbatim. V'nira midvarav, at the end of this paragraph that starts v'ayin, the last three lines, he says, "Midvarav d'shini v'ayin ha'inu she'yachshav al-menas she'is kapir bo'acher." In other words, that the kapar of the zrika should be for Shimon. That's what constitutes shini v'ayin. Okay, we're doing good. V'hine. Now we have a sugi called Mechashvin Me'avoda Lavoda, or Ein Mechashvin Me'avoda Lavoda. There are two shitos. And that means that if at the time of one avoda you have a machshava that's not relevant to that avoda, but it's only relevant to a different machshava, does that machshava register? Do we recognize it? You know, the man is doing shchit and he's already thinking about the Kabbalah Saddam or some other avoda. So that's going to be a sugi on daf yud. Yep. Oh, so the Gemara wants to prove from shinui bailim that nachashvim me'avoda avoda, that even though you're not up to that avoda, you're on an earlier avoda, but you had a machshav about the subsequent avoda, that also registers as a machshav. How do I prove this? From shinui bailim. Why? Because we have four psukim that teach us that all four avodos are subject to a psul of shini bailim. V'lo mishkachasay el b'machashev al hazrika. So in shchita, for example, where is their psul of shini bailim? When you had in mind that the zrika would be. So, but his mindset, his thought was going on at the time of the shchita. So you see that a machshava for something that's subsequent is relevant even at the time that came earlier. Ulechora, muchach minei, the din shochet al menas lizrok b'shinui bailim, hainu shemachashev al avodas hazrika, the e be'inin rak sheichashev sheiskaper bo acher, hagei ein ze toli be'avodas hazrika el be'kaporas hazrika, veich muchach minei, the machash me'avodal avoda. He says that the sukkah seems to indicate the exact opposite. From Rashi we proved which side of the Chakira, that it all depends on the Machshavas Kapara, that Shini Bailim is generated when I want the Kapara to accrue to Shimon and not to Ruve. No, it has nothing to do with Machshavas Kapara. It has to do with the Machshavas Avoda. Haraya, the Gemara wants to prove something about the general principle of Machashvi Me'avoda La'avoda. Machashvi Me'avoda La'avoda has nothing to do with Kapara. It has to do with the fact that I'm thinking about what I'm going to do with the other avoda. Like, for example, you know, in Pigul, you could have what's called the Machshavas Chutzul Zman Chutzul Koma. So a person could have in mind at the time of the Shechita that I want the Zrika to be for 2 days instead of 1 day. That's a Machshavas Pigul if you hold Machashvim Avoda Lavoda. But it all has to do with the Machshava from one avoda to the other avoda. So if we're going to say that Shini Bailim has to do with I'm going to change the bailim for the zrika as another avoda, then we have a very good proof for machash me'avoda l'avoda. But if it's a different kind of din, and the mechanics is that he has in mind that the kapara of this carbon through the zrika should be on behalf of someone else, on behalf of Shimon, that would prove absolutely nothing as far as machash me'avoda l'avoda. Ulam, he says, okay, I'm going to open up the original because I see that they're... It didn't come out so good. Sorry. I have only myself to blame because what I do is I try to get two pages on one. And it doesn't always work. He says, Ulam yesh lidchos. He says, you know what? I'm not going to die from this kasha. He says, it's not such a gavaldig kasha. We're going to go back to our original premise that we proved based on Rashi. Rashi says it explicitly. Nevertheless, the raya... is a very good raya. Why? Because the Torah was marve a psul from one avoda to a thought about another avoda. In the case of the other avoda in Shini Bailam, it means the kapara that's inherent and generated by the zrika, by that other avoda. But that's enough to prove that while you're involved in one avoda and you're thinking about another avoda and its implications, that registers as a machshava. And the Torah validates that machshava, even though you're anticipating a machshava that's going to come subsequently, it's still relevant. So again, the issue of whether or not it's the avodas hazrika for the kaparo or the avodas hazrika per se, that's a secondary issue that's very relevant to Shini Bailim, but has nothing to do with Machashmi Avodah L'Avodah. The very fact that we derived from a drasha that when he's thinking at the time of the Shechita about the Zrika, that creates a psul of Shini Bailim, that itself is predicated on Machashmi Avodah L'Avodah. Okay, now we get to the what I call the cherry on top, you know, The main reason I wanted to study this with you. The Brisker Rav wants to claim that on this very issue about how to define the psul of Shini Bailim and the Machshava L'Shem Zrikas Shimon is a machlokus between Rashi and Tosfos. Where? Not here in Masechta Zvachim, but it's in Masechta Psachim. The Gemara there is talking about a case of Shinui Bailim Li'achar Misa, which means that Reuven designated a carbon. After that Afrosha Nebuch, he died. Chanoch ben Reuven is now bringing his father's carbon, and the Kohen had in mind that this carbon should be on behalf of Levi. Levi's a friend of Mensch. When I say Levi, I don't mean another brother. I'm not saying that. I mean for somebody else. That's called Shinui Bailim Li'achar Misa. So Rashi says that what was the hesitation of the Gemara? Why was the Gemara inhibited? And the Gemara thinks that maybe there's no din of Shinui Bailim Li'achar Misa. Says Rashi, the ain shame Bailov Olav Me'achar Shemes. The Shem Bailim of Reuven, because Reuven designated the carbon for his chiyuv, only continues to exist as long as he's alive. After he dies, he's no longer a Bailim on the carbon. And he can't achieve kapara posthumously. Is Rashi quoting a pasuk? Or is he saying a svar? Look again at Rashi. Ein Shem Bailim Olav Li'achar Shemes.
Svar?
Rashi's not operating with a pasuk. We're going to soon see that Tosfos disagrees. In other words, Rashi understood that based on a definition, a simple working definition of Shini Bailim, there's no possibility of Shini Bailim L'Achar Misa. We'll see why in a minute. Tosfos, on the other hand, writes, Shini Bailim Eino L'Achar Misa. There's no psul of Shini Bailim when instead of thinking on behalf of Chanoch, he thinks on behalf of Levi or Shmerel Beryl. And there's no psul of Shini Bailim in that case, Li'achar Misa of Reuven. Why? Says Tosfos, Mishum Dechsiv, he quotes a pasuk. As soon as you see the word Dechsiv, you know that you're out of the realm of Svara, and you're in the realm of a pasuk, of a Yalfusa. Lechaper Olav, V'lo'al Chavero. The Torah says in the parasha of Chatos, that it has to come as a kapor for him, and the word for him of Olav is coming to exclude for somebody else. That's called Shinui Bailim. And when it says Lechaper Olav means because he's alive. Umeis, if he's already dead, Lav Bar Kapar Gmurahu. Again, you have to know what the word Gmura means, but let's say Lav Bar Kapara for our purposes. Eloshin Eschayev Lavio. In other words, the Yarshim, the son, will have to bring this carbon on behalf of his father, but his father is already dead and he's not a bar kapara, at least not in the full sense. So what the Brisker Rav wants to ask is, why is that Tosfos has to invoke a pasuk to establish this principle, this law that ain shini bayim lachar misa. Of course, ain shini bayim lachar misa. After all, as Rashi says, ain shame bala after misa. He can't be called a bala korban if he's dead. And yet, Tosus, for some reason, feels compelled to quote apostle. Says the Brisker Rav, Rashi derives this from Svar, because Rashi holds that Shini Baila means what?
Kapara.
If the Kapara is critical, then since the owner of the carpet is already dead, and there's no possibility of relating that Kapara to him when he's already dead, there's no posthumous Kapara, is therefore, obviously, the Machsheves Shini Baila is completely irrelevant, because what are you going to tell me? Well, the Zrika should have been done for the sake of Reuven in order to generate his kapara. But on the other hand, the Kohen went ahead, and at the time of the Zrika, he had in mind L'shem Levi, L'shem Yaakov Beryl. He says that that's not Shini Baila, because Shini Baila means robbing the kapara from somebody. He didn't rob the kapara from somebody because there's no kapara on behalf of Reuven. You can't call Reuven the Bala Karban. Bala Karban means I own the rights to the kapara of the Karban. That's Bala Karban. That's not true in the case of Liach HaMisa. And therefore, Rashi says it's a svara milsa the pshita that there's no such thing as shini bailim after the death of the bala karban, because there is he's no longer the bala karban. Oh, Tosis virle dehadi eno liachar misa. Why is there no shini bailim liachar misa? Hainu mishum the ains and nichlal bikra the al chavero. The Torah says, "V'nirtza l'chaper olav, olav alo al chavero." Right, that was the pasuk that Tosis quoted. Let's read it again. The Tosis in the previous paragraph, he says, "The chsiv l'chaper olav, and olav is a meal to exclude chavero." Oh, so what is the svara of Tosis? Why doesn't he simply derive this from Svar, from the fact that there's no Bailin because there's no Miskaper? Mashba, he says, the Svara, if I didn't have the Pasuk, I would have said, Yitochen Shinu Bailin. Why? Mishum Desfirle da Psul Toli Be'avoda Zrika. Can you underline those words? Be'avoda Zrika. The cave of the Af. We akar shabayla mesu mikolokom akarban karev. Karev means that the external actions, the mechanical, you know, shchita, etc. The ola lechovas bailav. In other words, the bailim took upon themselves a commitment, a pledge when Reuven was alive to bring this karban, which means that all the avodas should be done. Well, we're going to do the avodas after his death, and the pledge was fulfilled. You're going to tell me, but the Kohen had in mind that the Kapara should be enjoyed by someone else, or let me say it better than that, more fundamentally, the way Rashi would have said it. There is no Kapara for Reuven, he's already dead. So what's Shaykh HaShini Bailin? The answer is, because the Avoda per se is done as the Avoda of Reuven. That we can still maintain. You know, it's the lumpness of the Brisker Rav. Again, Lefian, if I understand it correctly, is that although a man who's dead cannot achieve posthumous kapara, so you can't rob him of kapara in that sense, he's not the Bala Karban, but nevertheless, there is a posthumous fulfillment of his neder, of his commitment to bring this karban. And that requires that the avodos be done on his behalf.
Does this relate to the concept of Shibud that we discussed earlier?
Well, wait a minute. The concept of Shibud is relevant to why the Yoresh has to bring the carbon. Now we're focused on Reuven, the deceased. Okay. And what we're saying is that the deceased can fulfill his obligation posthumously if the Avoda is done. Right, avoda means the four avodas. Leave out the kapara at this point. Again, you're right that we're going to have to introduce the yarshim at some point to justify the kapara element in this karba, because ein kapara liachar misa. So we're going to have to somehow relate this kapara to the yarshim. But that'll just distract us for the moment. What we want to focus on is that we could have a shinui bailim, again, if not for the pasuk, al pi svara. Because forget about what Rashi sold you a bill of goods, and Rashi says, well, Reuven is not miskaper liachami. So that's not relevant to shinui bailim. Shinui bailim means when the avodah has to be done for the, we call it the shlichus, if you remember, of, or on behalf of Reuven, and now the Kohen says, no, I'm operating on behalf of Shimon. That's going to be shinui bailim. In other words, Tosfos accepted the other side in the Chakira that we started with. Not that shinui bailim depends upon deflecting the kapara to someone else, but rather deflecting the avoda to someone else. And that's shaykh even liachar misa, because the avoda could be meaningful if it's done for the purpose of Reuven, even posthumously. What we cannot accept posthumously is a kapara. There's no kapara, you know, you should be forgiven for your sins. But as far as the basic mitzvah of bringing the karma, which is an obligation that is imposed upon you, self-imposed upon you, let's say, by neder, that makes the avoda meaningful on behalf of Reuven, even though he's dead. And therefore, we would postulate a din of shinui bailim if the Kohen had in mind that he's doing the avodah not for the purpose of Reuven the deceased, but for the purpose of someone else. Just one more line, and then the floor is yours. Lekach, therefore, ilav kra, Tosfos holds, if not for the pasuk of Allah, v'lo al chavero, shayach af lechashiv bo machsheves psul shinui bayil. Yeah.
Didn't we learn last week that for a ned, to fulfill the neder part of things, you just have to bring it to the Azara and then you fulfilled it?
Ah, so the answer to that was that there are two dinim. There's one din of neder, and you're right, that din is fulfilled once it's brought to the Azara, but there's another din which is derived from Sukkim, that a karbon, in addition to being a neder, the neder triggers off a separate mechanism called achrayus. And the achrayus tells me that it's not enough that the karbon be brought to the azara. Like, for example, in our Mishnah, when it says el shalom ol l'shem bailim, the simple meaning of the Mishnah is that the bailim now have to replace the karbon. Why did the bailim have to replace the karbon? Just because the kohen had a machsheves shalom l'shem ola? So what? I brought it to the Kohen. I took the animal. I brought it to the Azor. I can't enter the Azor, but I can at least give it to him as he stands at the boundary of the Azor. And then I fulfill my neder. So the Gemara says, "Nein, we have a special pasuk that tells me that your achrayus obligates you even beyond the kiyum neder." As a separate halacha in Kodshim, the Kiyum HaNeder is already a universal halacha that applies to all the Dorim. But in Kodshim, when I take a Neder, there's a new parsha that says that I have to take this karbon and make sure that the Kiyum Hakrava was achieved. It's not enough to being a two. But again, we're getting off. If you want a chazar on that shir, I don't mind giving it, but that would give me another hour of a shir here. I just want to finish what we started. So again, let's get back, just focus on one point here. And that is that according to Tosfos, if not for the pasuk, there would be a very serious havamina that there could be shini bailim lachar misa. Why? Because the avoda, instead of it being directed towards Reuven the deceased, it was directed towards someone else. And therefore, in terms of the cube of bringing this hakrova, and it has to be on behalf of Reuven, that, you know, we're robbing Reuven posthumously of that kiyum akrova, that achrayus that goes beyond the neder. You know, the misa certainly removes his obligation. You can't hold a person responsible for not fulfilling his pledges if he's dead, right? But there still is a din in the karbon, that the karbon has to be brought to fulfill his original neder, and that's aloch and kachim. And for that, the avoda has to be related in some way to Reuven. Hava Amina, if not for the pasuk, I would have said that if the Kohen has in mind that the avoda be done for Shimon, then Eichinami, that would constitute shini bailim, and the carbon is worthless. Kamash Malan, we have a pasuk here that says v'nirtza olav, and has to do with ritzui, that there has to be a bala carbon in Hilchas Kapara, and that we don't have anymore once Reuven died. But in the Hava Amina, shini bailim would certainly apply. So whereas Rashi says it was pashut that shini bailim could only apply when you have a bailim at miskaprim, and liachar misa there is no such bailim, and therefore there's no discussion here about shini bailim. So after Reuven dies, you know, the Kohen had in mind Shmelki Beryl, that's irrelevant. Comes along Tosfos and he says, no, Shini Bailam is not in the Kapara, but in the Avodah. And if it's in the Avodah, if it wasn't done for the sake or on behalf of Reuven, the deceased, that's already Shinui Bailam. Let's finish it up and then we'll take questions. Just the last paragraph on the next page, we're on now page Tezayin. He says, Menira, the Efshal Lidchos. He wants to suggest that the Brisker Rav does not have an absolute proof from Tosfos that Shini Bailam is on a Machsheves Avoda, even irrelevant to Kapara. The Aflat Tosfos Lo Nafkale Misvara, even though I admit that's explicit in Tosfos, that he doesn't derive the case of Ein Shini Bailam Lachamisa from Svara. Hainu Mishum Desvirle Shamachsheva Tluya Beritzi HaKarbon Velo BeKapara. So I must have to tell you, this was an eye-opener for me. I always assumed, in my terminology, that the words Ritzui and Shinui and Kapara, excuse me, were synonymous terms. But he says no. There's such a thing called Ritzui, and it's not a Kapara. Again, Ritzui means that the achrayus and the responsibility to fulfill this karbon has to be fulfilled. That's called Ritzui. It doesn't necessarily mean a kapara. And the nafkamina is going to be in the case of Misa, because what we're going to say in the case of Misa is that although there could be Ritzui, it's not going to be Maskaper, because there's no kapara l'achar Misa, but it still is a Ritzui in the sense that it's the proper, full-fledged Kiyuma Karban. So therefore, the Machshav itself, according to Tosus, is dependent upon Ritzui. And there is Ritzui l'achar Misa. So in other words, it comes out that according to the Rosh Hashiva, there are three possibilities here in Shini Bailim. Correct? There's one Shini Bailim, which is in the Maisa Voda. There's another Shini Bailim, which is in the Ritzui Karbon. And there's a third Shini Bailim that's in the Kapar. So as far as the Avoda is concerned, it seems clear from Tosfos that... No, I'm sorry. Let's start the other way around. As far as the Kapara is concerned, although Rashi holds that Shini Bailam is in the Kapara, Tosfos rejects that Shita. Okay, fine. Tosfos rejects that Shita, and therefore Tosfos postulates, Tosfos entertains the possibility of Shini Bailam even Liachar Miso, although there's no Miskaper. Okay, but now let's take it to the next level. So what is Shini Bailam according to Tosfos? And you could have said that maybe Shini Bailam according to Tosfos means the Avoda per se. But he says no. Shini Bailam according to Tosfos is in the Ritzui. Although Tosfos rejects Rashi, who would postulate that Shini Bailam is in the Kapara Sakar, but therefore it's a Svara Pshuta that Leachar Misa is no Shini Bailam. Tosfos, on the other hand, says that the Shini Bailam is not necessarily in the Miskaper, in the Kapara. Oh, so what is it? And so the Brisker Rav assumed it's in the Maisa Avoda. And here, the Nefesh Tov is saying, no, it's not in the Maisa Avoda, but rather in the Ritzui Karbon. And there's a very subtle difference between the two, but he says that there's a difference between Kapara and Ritzui. So Ritzui means that again, it's a little bit hard to say these words, but I'm going to say them anyway, and then I'll try to explain them. Ritzui means that if Reuven would be alive, let's say Liachar Tchias HaMeisim, he would not have to bring a carbon. Again, he dies, and he lives wherever he is, you know, in whatever place. Hopefully he went to the good place, right? But he doesn't have the kapar. That kapar he doesn't have. So when he gets up to the pearly gates, buddy, you got, you know, you have an avera, and you weren't miskaper for that avera, let's say. But, on the other hand, after Tchias HaMeisim, I'm just using those words, l'sabra sa'ozen, he does not have to replace that kapar. Why? Because what did he achieve if the kapar was brought on his behalf after death? He achieves Ritzui. Ritzui means that I fulfilled my achrayus. Not only, as Mitch pointed out before, not only Bitaris Neder, because that I fulfilled as soon as I got to the Azara, but even my Echrayis as a Din Mesuyim in Kodshim, that I have to see to it that the carbon was brought. There's a din that if it's brought on my behalf, I shouldn't say my behalf because I don't want to give myself a, you know, a whammy, but on behalf of Reuven who died, even that is considered a Ritzui Karma. Now, I ask you, what's the nafkamina to a Ritzui Karma without Kapar? So I suggested Liachar Tchias HaMesim. And that's not a bad idea. Rebbe Chanan Wasserman has many insights into what's the din going to be Liachat Chias HaMesim. Again, I'm going to throw out a Shaka Rufi if you want to think about something in the middle of the night and lose your sleep on it. If a man marries a second wife, what happens after Chias HaMesim? Is he married to his first wife or to his second wife? And Rabbi Chanan takes this very seriously. You know, he has whole discussions about this. What's going to be after Chias HaMesim?
Where is that?
You know, some people, it's at the beginning of his Kovet Shiurim. And I think some people would say, you know what? I'd rather stay dead and not be married to either of them. But that's the old humor. Today you can't get away with that humor, you know. My father's generation, when they said Marzel and Ochlum, they used to point to their wives, you know, Marzel and Ochlum. But today, I mean, you're going to be sleeping in the doghouse for a good long time if you say something like that. But the point I wanted to make is that what I said before about Chias HaMesim might actually be relevant. I'm not sure if with Chias HaMesim we wipe off all your, you know, like etch and sketch, we wipe off all your chiyuvim and all your nedarim. I'm not sure. You know, now you're alive again after being resurrected, now fulfill those nedarim. But here you have a reason. Why? Because the karma was brought posthumously for the sake of Reuven. And wait just 1 second. And that's called avodah. And that avodah, if it's done for the sake of Reuven, it generates a reason. But I have another nafkamina. I don't have to talk about Chias HaMesim. The other nafkamina would be as far as the Yarshim are concerned. Okay, good. Now you can speak. I just wanted to get that off my, you know, out of my map. Yeah, what do you say? What do you want to say about the Yarshim, Jeff? Somebody say something about the Yarshim.
Yeah, so it doesn't have, if the Zrika is done in the wrong Bialim, then do the Yarshim have to bring the...
Correct. Because what we're saying is that if Shini Bialim undermines the Ritzui Karbon, then the one who's going to pick up the tab on that is going to be Chanoch ben Reuven, the Yarshim. Yeah, why? Because there's a responsibility that's passed on to the Yarshim. Again, how that works, she moved the rice, blah, 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 I don't know. You know, that requires a lot of investigation. But suffice it to say that if Reuven dies without having fulfilled this carbon, then Chanoch ben Reuven has to fulfill the carbon. If the carbon was brought posthumously on behalf of Reuven in a way that is Ritzui, and there was no Shinui Bialim, then Chanoch ben Reuven is off the hook. If on the other hand there was a Shini Bialim, and again the Shini Bialim here is very unique because it's not that we're robbing Reuven when we think of Shimon of a kapara, because Reuven can never achieve the kapara of this karmon, but nevertheless we're robbing him of the Ritzui. Therefore there's a Hava meaning that Shini Bialim would now generate a chiyuv on behalf of on the shoulders of Chanoch to bring a replacement karmon. Kamash Malan, the pasuk tells me no, there is no such thing as Shini Bialim Lachar Misa. Rashi, on the other hand, never had a Havamin of Shini Bialim Lachar Misa, because Rashi holds that Shini Bialim means Shini HaMiskaprim. You've robbed the Miskaper of his rights, his ability to achieve Kapor, and that's not true in the case of Lachar Misa.
Yeah, but in the case where there was Shini, where there's Ritzui. Is Ritzui.
If the carbon posthumously was brought on behalf of Reuven,
right,
the deceased.
Right. Now if the Oresh did not bring the carbon, he did not bring another carbon because it was a Shina Bialim.
So wait a minute, what's the case? There was Shini Bialim or there was not Shini
Bialim? There was Shini
Bialim. And now we're saying the Yorish has to pick up the tab, yeah, and bring a replacement
card. Is he open on Kol Motzei Shvasat?
No, he never said anything, so there's no Motzei Shvasat. So again, that's the sugya of Shibud HaRais. I would not learn that sugya. It's a profound sugya, and I don't know exactly how it operates.
Okay.
All right, let's just go on now to number Yudal, correct? Okay. He says in number Yudalid the following. Tosis says, "V'kulam asnislo nokar el shinui kodesh." I'm going to prove to you that the Mishnah is exclusively addressing Shinui Kodesh. How do I prove this? The Katani B'Seifa, Nami B'Seifa, Ketzad Lishman, Shelo Lishman. The Sefer is going to say, what's a case where he has a double Machshava, Lishman and Shelo Lishman? L'shem Pesach and L'shem Shlom. Okay, and that's going to apostle the Korban Pesach, because he also has a Machshava of Shinui Kodesh. Hine, Hochichu Tosfos, Mehod Anaka B'Sefer Gabi Lishman V'Shelo Lishman Dugma D'Shinui Kodesh, Dulo Ari Mas Nisim B'Shinui Bail U'Mashma Toi Shaykh L'Misni B'Sefer Dugma D'Shinui Bail. In other words, why did the Mishnah have to give the example of Pesach and Shlomim, which is called Shinui Kodesh? Why didn't he give an example of L'Shem Bailam U'L'Shem Acher, supposing the Kohen had in mind for Reuven and for Yankel Beryl? And that would have been appropriate. From the fact that the Mishnah left that out, Tosfos proves that the Mishnah is not dealing with Shinui Bailam. It's dealing only with Shinui Kodesh. And the Keren Ora, in fact, has a suffix. What's the deal with Lishmo and L'Shem Acher in Shinui Bailam? Notice he had a positive machshava on behalf of Reuven, the Bala Karbon, and at the same time he had a machshava on behalf of Shimon. So that's called Lishmo Mishalo Lishmo. Ubira Sofik Nira, the Dafka B'Shinui Kodesh, Choshev Shalo Lishmo Lishmo Machshava Poselis. Meaning, in the case of a Karbon Pesach, you have to have a machshava l'shem karban pesach that you had, but you also are not allowed to have a negative machshava l'shem shlomim, and that's a machshava poselis. However, in the case of Shinui Bailam, this is one side in the Keren Ora's suffek. You can always argue that since he had a l'shem Bailam in this karban, there's no such thing as a machshava poselis in terms of Shinui Bailam. In other words, the fact that he also thought about Yankel Beryl, that doesn't create a machshava poselis. The psul of Shinui Bailam is that you were oker the carbon from the Bailam. You stole and robbed him of his kapar. The fact that you wanted to add a partner to the deal, that's not stealing, right, in this context. Maybe it would be stealing in Choshen Mishpat if I took your cow and I gave someone else partnership in your cow, so you've lost half the cow. So now you're sharing the kapara with another person. Maybe that's called gzela. But in Hilchos Shinui Bailam, I didn't take your kapara. You still have rights to the kapara of the karbon, and therefore the Keren Ora thinks that perhaps if it's lishmo and shelo lishmo, meaning it's also lishmo and l'shem acher, it would be kosher, and that would not constitute Shinui Bailam. Is midivrei Tosfos? Now we go back to Tosfos, who says that the Mishnah could have been given an example of Shinui Bailam if he had Lishmo and Shelo Lishmo. Is Yesh Lo Chiyuv to Mikri Shinui Bailam, even if it's L'Shem Bailam and L'Shem Acher, means L'Shem Acher is Machshava Poselis, which was a position that the Keren Ora was hesitating, he was inhibited, but that's what you see from Tosfos. The Ilavach, if you don't agree with me, Lekho Chocha Demasnisan Lo Shari Bashiri Bailim, from the fact that he gave an example of L'Shem Pesach, L'Shem, and L'Shem Ashlamim, why didn't he give an example of L'Shem Reuven and L'Shem Shimon? The answer is that if it was L'Shem Reuven and L'Shem Shimon, that would not be Shinui Bailim. Elamuchach on the top of the left column, the Tosfos Filei, the Af Lishmo V'Shelo Lishmo, is also a psul of Shinui Bailim, meaning that to the same extent that in Shelo Lishmo and Shem Kodesh, there's a Machshava Poseles, even though he had a positive machshava lishma, so too in Shinui Bailam, there's a machshava poselas if he has in mind Shimon. He says umiu. He says, okay, let's see. I'm trying to get to this Kilas Yaakov here on page Yud Zayin. Just 1 second. Give me a minute to think whether we can fast forward just because of the expediency of time. Okay, no, we have to learn at least this paragraph of me, at least. Maybe that in Lechora, and then we can skip, we'll see. He says the following. Let's assume, like one side in the Keren Ora, Lakula, that Shem Bailam the Shinui Bailam has to be an Akira Gemura. It has to completely exclude the Bailam. If he shares it with someone else, that's not called Shinui Bailam. Again, Tosis is not of that ilk, but that was one side in the Keren Or. Yesh l'stapik. Kisha okar shem mikzas Bailam imenu legamre imikri Shinui Bailam.
What else would
it be called? One second. Kigon, korban ha-shutfim, she-shochet l'shem, echad mehem bilvad. Oh. He's saying the following. What happens if you have Reuven and Shimon that are both shutfim on the korban, and the Kohen has in mind Reuven to the exclusion of Shimon? Would the Karen Ora agree in that case that that's called Shini Bailam, because vis-a-vis Shimon, he excluded him entirely? That's a complete Shini Bailam. In other words, When the Karen Ora wants to be a little bit more liberal and he wants to be more Mekil, that's only when he had in mind that this Karbo would be Mechaper both for Reuven and Shimon. So Reuven, the Balakom, is included. But let's say one of the two Shutvim is completely excluded, that, even according to the Karen Ora, might be considered and might qualify as what? As a Machsheva Shini Bailam. One of the two owners of this partnership is completely being nixed, and that would generate a psul. In other words, he did have in mind for one of the bailim, then that's enough to generate a hechsher hakorban.
Hechsher hakorban, but not a kapara for him. The other one.
He doesn't mention that, but I think you're right. The carbon would be Ola L'Shem that Reuven and not L'Shem Shimon, because he excluded Shimon. You might be right. And I have to learn through the whole piece and see for sure. Oh. See, he wants to bring a raya from a sugya on Daf Dalit. The Gemara raises a possibility that Shinui Kodesh is more chomer than Shinui Bailam. Why? Because the Gemara says that Shinui Kodesh works even in a carbon tzibur, where Shinui Bailam only works for a carbon yochid. So Tosus explains the following. Let's say in the case of a carbon tamid. A carbon tamid is a carbon tzibur. And if the Machsheves HaKohen was for the sake of a carbon ola, a carbon shlamim, a carbon chata, so for that would pass all the carbon. But what if he had in mind that this tamid should be brought for the sake of Reuven to the exclusion of everyone else on the face of the earth? So Tosis says, im shachat tamid l'shem yachid, that's enough for the carbon to be kosher, even though he's excluding the rest of the velt. And that's what the Gemara means, that there's no Shinui Bailam in the case of Tamid insofar as it's a carbon tzibur. So you already see that the Rosh Hashiva is pointing out that if not for the fact that it was a carbon tzibur, this would be a psul. In other words, if it would have been a carbon ashutvim, and he has more one shutvim and not the other, even though as far as one of the two shutvim, it's a perfectly valid machshava l'shem bailam, but nevertheless, since he excludes one of the shutfim, he's out. Masha ain't came in the case of a carbon tzibur, there the din is different, and if he had in mind that the tamid should be machaper only for one person, that's fine, and the carbon is kosher. Im shachet l'shem akum sheinu bailav lo michsel behochid. In other words, in the case of a carbon tamid, which is a carbon tzibur, if you had in mind for Reuven, who's Jewish, that's considered l'shem bailam. Now, if you had in mind for the sake of a guy, she'eino bailov. Oh, okay. So that's the sugya of chaver odum yedidei. We didn't learn that together, do we? Okay. So that's a cool. Yeah, it's funny that shini bailam. It's a paradox. Only works when it's chaver odum yedidei, meaning that he's shayach to this kapara. Okay, so you would have said that since he has in mind the shame Reuven, and really it's mechap for the entire tzibur of Klal Yisrael, that's called a shini bailim. But the answer is no, that it's kosher because he has in mind one of the valid bailim, and that validates the carbon. Harei kosva tosu that shokhet es tom l'shem yachid lo avi shini bailim afal pisha oker chelik mi bailim vimeno. Really, the balance of the world is muchach. The shochei carbon b'shutfim l'shem echad min abaylim lo mikri shinu baylim.
Right.
So now those who are with me for Derech HaLimud will know why this is not a proof. Again, in the case of a carbon sibur like Tomid, if he had in mind one bialim, it's kosher. It's not called shini bialim, even though he's excluding everyone else. Would that therefore prove that in the case of shutfim, if he had in mind one of the two shutfim, then it's kosher because he had in mind one of the two bialim? Why not? What's the machine of Yochin and Tzibur? We had such long discussions about this. Do you remember this is called Hakava Mizugit?
Yeah.
Am I reminding you of something that you learned with me? With, you know, we learned together in the Rogatchava? Yeah. So that's what I think he says here without quoting the Rogatchava. He says, Yesh Litchos, the shiny carbon Tzibur become in Shutfim, Linian Bailus. And he quotes Rabbi Chanan Vasim, and I don't know if we ever saw this Rabbi Chanan, I'm not sure. The Bailus Shel Shutfis, Hayu Shel Kol Efek Me'at Shutfim, Hu Bailam Al Chelko, he has his Chelik. But Bailus Atzibu, Bailus Achas Shel Atzibu Kula Al Akol. You can't designate one part of the object and say, well, you know, I'm a part of the Tzibu, I own that object, I'm part of the object. The Rayalitover, okay, his Raya is very complicated. But anyway, getting back to our case, therefore in the case of Karban HaTzibur, where there's no bialus of the Yachid, that's not called a Shini Bialim when he has in mind one particular member of the Tzibur. The Kavan, the Shachet Li Echad Min HaTzibur, Hare Shem Bial of Olam. That's every single person who makes up that Tzibur really represents this entire collective entity, corporate entity called the Tzibur, Mashenke B'Karban HaShutfim, where each Shutf has his own personal ownership on his part. Kol Iker Shem Echad Min HaShutfim Mikri Shini Bialim. By excluding one of the Shutfim, that's considered a Shini Bialim. Mashenke, in the case of a Tzibur, when he has the Machshava for that particular member of the Tzibur, that's considered as if he had Kavana for the entire Tzibur, because that person, that individual, represents this collective entity, this Harkava Mizugit called the Tzibur. I was very excited about it. I'm even more excited about the Kilus Yaakov, but I'm afraid that we may have to go to Mincha now. Okay then? So if you can remind me, but again, I always ask you to hold on to these pages and whatever, but if you can, that would be great, and we'll start from the Kilus Yaakov.